Welcome to Tri Chatter.
Welcome. Welcome to this edition of Tri Chatter. This is the Ironman World Championships edition of Tri Chatter.
This is the Kona edition, and Ron is wearing his Kona Finishers t-shirt, which I am so incredibly impressed with, and just, it's amazing. It's really, really cool, and he's wearing his hat that they gave him, and I just have so many things I want to hear about. So, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
You are
Thank
a Kona you. Finisher. And
Thank you.
How many people did that race?
I think they said it was 1,850.
So smaller than some of the other Ironmans around.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start from the top. You got to Kona what day?
The race was on us. Arrived there on Monday, October 4th.
The race was on Saturday.
I went with my 80-year-old mother, and we didn't do much Monday. We got in late Monday, so we rented a condo south of about 6 miles south of Kailua Kona, and yeah, pretty much just laid low that night.
Mm-hmm. How was the weather?
What you'd expect, but pretty much 85, sunny every day.
Humid.
Very humid. Every day.
So how did you try to acclimate yourself to that humidity?
Nothing special. We didn't have air conditioning in the condo, so we didn't have to worry about turning that on.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing special. I mean, every day, you know, Tuesday right through Friday, I worked out every day. Sometimes it was just a swim. Sometimes it was a swim bike run. But yeah, nothing special. You know, I mean, I didn't go out and lay in the sun and fry myself
right,
or anything.
Right, and you were feeling ready and...
Well, you know, it's funny because I did a three-week taper, which is pretty normal for me for an Ironman. But I during the week before I left for Kona, I was feeling real sluggish. You know, I wasn't feeling real strong and real powerful. But Tuesday, went out for a ride on my bike and... man, I was strong.
Ooh.
I mean, my body was ready at that point.
So you knew that your taper had, you'd done the right thing on your taper.
Yeah, I got on my bike and rode up the Queen K, and I was pushing 240 watts. It's like,
for how long?
Not long, but, you know, like half an hour. It's like, wow, I am really feeling strong.
Right, right.
And I think that's what the taper really does for you.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you get your bike over there? Did you do the tri-bike transport?
Tri-bike transport, yeah. They're great.
They really are.
Yeah, the only downside is that, you know, they really collect your bike about 2 weeks before the event. You don't get it for 2 weeks after.
Right.
So
you've got a road bike, too.
If you've got a backup bike, no problem. If that's the only bike you've got, then you're probably better off taking it with you on the plane.
Yeah. Okay, so you were there during the week, and all the athletes are showing up, and everybody's getting all ready. And
well, it's just amazing because, you know, there's bikes running, you know, riding up and down the Queen K, and, you know, you're seeing the most amazing bikes ever there.
Right, right.
And then running up and down
the
Elite.
This is the creme de la creme.
It's just amazing that the energy that comes during that week is just amazing, and the incredibly fit athletes, and, you know, we go down to Digme Beach and you're looking at all the bodies, you know, and swimming and
that
beautiful water.
Fantastic.
Oh,
I love the water there.
But the whole scene was just amazing, and you have to go to Lava Java, which is right off of Ali Drive.
Right.
That's where everybody goes, and just to hang out, you know, there is fun. I went with a friend of mine, Pete Condi, will hopefully qualify next year. Pete bought me an orange juice and a muffin, so we went to Lava Java and took a couple of pictures, and just the whole scene.
So did they have an organized, like, a dinner type of thing on Thursday night or Friday?
Well, the event did, yeah. They had a carbo load Thursday night. It's pretty typical, you know. I mean, if you've ever done an Ironman before, you know, it's the same thing that they always do.
But it's at Kona. It's at the World Championship, so.
It is different from that respect.
Was everyone who's anyone there?
You know, the pros don't go to the carbo load thing, so you don't see that crowd for the carbo load. You see them at the awards banquet, of course.
But right, right.
Not so much at the carbo load.
And the awards banquet, was that cool. On Sunday night? But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, yeah. You skipped right over the race.
I know. I'm going straight to the awards banquet because it's all about the food. You know, for me, it's all about the food. Okay, so Friday, the energy is...
Yeah.
Just reached almost a peak.
Well, no, you know what? Friday, it's kind of interesting because Thursday, I think, is actually the peak where, you know, people are still out there and they're training and you still have, you know, the expo is open and a lot of people wandering around and stuff. But mm-hmm. Friday, nobody's out. You
when
know,
did
everybody's,
you check your bike and everything in?
Well, you check it in Friday.
Check it in on Friday, yeah.
But nobody's riding on the roads, nobody's running, very few people swimming, so it's just like the calm before the storm.
Right.
Is what
right.
it is, you know.
Yeah.
So you've got all this energy all week and then Friday's just kind of quiet.
Were you nervous with just the magnitude of the event?
Yeah, I don't think I started getting really nervous until Thursday,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then Friday, you know, trying to stay calm. Really, the only activity you've got Friday is to check your bike in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went out to dinner that night. We went to Roy's,
mm-hmm.
so that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You
had a good... Tell me what you had for dinner the night before.
Yeah, I had a...
Because it's all about the food.
I know. I had a fillet and potatoes, and I finished it off with a chocolate souffle. So.
Oh. That sounds wonderful. So no fiber, right?
Yeah.
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 So do you start, speaking of food, when do you start tapering off your fiber for these long races?
You know, I don't really think about it too much. I just, you know, I the only thing that I do from a nutrition standpoint is I try to load up on the salt the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I lay off alcohol and caffeine for 2 weeks before.
Oh.
And that's really about it. And then I kind of watch what I eat a little bit.
Are you normally, do you drink a lot of caffeine?
I probably drink about 1 to 2 diet sodas a day.
You don't drink coffee in the morning?
No coffee.
See, I have to drink coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. My coffee maker is set every morning. So why are you laying off the caffeine?
Well, because what I want it to do when I don't take any caffeine on the bike. What I've started taking now is geranium oil.
Really?
Yeah. It's
you hear that, folks? Geranium oil.
Yeah, it's something to check out. It's kind of a...
Ron is in the know.
Well, I wish I could give credit where I read it, but I don't remember. But I was reading about geranium oil, and then I went online and read a little bit more about it, and it's got... fewer side effects in terms of diuretics and
mm-hmm.
in terms of jitters and stuff
mm-hmm.
than caffeine, and it's supposed to give you the same kind of buzz.
Really?
So I took a couple of geranium oil capsules on the bike, but on the run, then I was taking Coke every other
day. And you had trained with these geranium
mm-hmm.
capsules?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't do anything new on race day, especially if it's at Kona.
Especially if it's a geranium capsule.
Yeah. So,
okay, and so you were doing the sodas on the flat Coke on the run.
Yeah.
God, doesn't that taste good?
It didn't really taste good, but the lift that you got was good.
Yeah.
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 I usually
on those long races take some goos that have caffeine in them.
Yeah, you know
but
what?
But see, I don't ever lay off the caffeine.
I can't seem to get any solid food down. You know, when I'm pushing on the bike
not
or
even
the
a
run.
Goo?
No, I can't do it. The only thing, I had my breakfast, you know, the morning of the race,
right.
my
What'd
normal
you have?
Breakfast, cottage cheese with walnuts and blueberries in it,
ooh.
A glass of orange juice, and an English muffin with peanut butter and
with
jelly.
With walnuts and blueberries, that
yeah.
sounds really good.
But I had no other solid food. I had no solid food for 24 hours after
Weren't
that.
Weren't you starving?
No. The Infinite that I use has got 900 calories per bottle, and I
yeah,
do two bottles of that.
And check that stuff out. That's
yeah. I recommend it to everybody because if you mix it triple strength, which is what I did.
Right. And then you just keep adding water at the aid stations?
No. The Infinite bottle is just Infinite. It's
mm-hmm.
triple strength. It's got 900 calories the way that I mix it. So I got 900 calories in that one, and I finished that halfway through. When I get to my special needs bag, I throw the empty bottle away and I put my new one in. I froze that one the night before, so one of them's frozen. And by the time you pick it up, it's all melted. And then I'll drink that 900 calories by the end of the bike. So I've got 1,800 calories for the whole bike.
And your bike leg was how long?
112.
No, I mean your time.
6 hours and 5 minutes.
Okay, so that's 300 calories an hour, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, is that right?
No.
It's
how many calories?
1,800 divided by 6.
Yeah, that'd be 300 calories an hour.
Yeah, and that's about right.
That's about as much as you can handle.
Yeah.
You know, your body can't really process more than that, which surprises me because Art, our guest that we had a few weeks back, who also did Kona, takes in a lot more calories than that on the bike. I think he takes around 400 or 500, which I don't know how you could do that. But anyway, getting back to you, Ron.
Yeah, I just, that was it for me. I can't seem to stomach any solid food. I mean, I made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and didn't use any of them. I bring goos, but I didn't use any of those.
You just can't bring yourself to...
Can't choke it down.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's not... Well, this is getting too detailed, so we won't go into it. So it's not like it makes your stomach upset. You just can't bring yourself to eat it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so let's start with race morning.
Yeah, so...
you got up early,
got the breakfast down. I was up at 3 o'clock. We left for the race site at 4 o'clock. My friend Mark Aronall was just... he was really a savior. I mean, he was the ultimate Ironman Sherpa. He was up all night, you know, checking out MapQuest and Google Maps and trying to find a way so we could park close to the race site but still be able to get out because they closed so many of the streets there.
Right.
You can't get, either you have to park miles away, or if you park close, then you're trapped. So
Right.
We found a great spot to park. So thank you, Mark, for that. So we got down there.
Shout out to Mark.
He had to... he did a bunch of volunteer stuff on Friday and Saturday, so he had to be down there at 4:30 in the transition area to help the athletes. So we got down there about 4:30, and he checked in and I got body marked and did all that.
And the place is just all abuzz.
Oh, it's just amazing.
It's just all abuzz.
Just amazing. And, of course, everybody's there, you know, so you're seeing... You know, Chris McCormick and...
Everybody but Chrissy Wellington.
Everybody but Chrissy Wellington was there.
Yeah. Oh, I saw pictures of checking her bike in the day before.
She was fine. I guess we saw her Thursday down at Digme Beach. And she was happy and splashing in the water and cameras were following her around and stuff. But, yeah, she was a no-show.
Oh,
but you see everybody race boarding and you're kind of checking everybody out. And,
right.
And I parked, my bike was two stations down or whatever from Joe Bonas, who was the guy who was the odds on favorite to win and then ultimately did win.
Mm-hmm.
So I chatted with him a little bit in my age group.
How many guys were in your age group?
68.
And of those 68, how many do you think qualified as opposed to... getting in a lottery?
Probably, I don't, you know, there's no real way to tell unless you go back and do a bunch of research on it, but probably 65 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so race morning, here we are in the transition, getting ready. Everybody's all excited.
Yeah, just
start getting butterflies.
A little nervous. Yeah, you start getting nervous.
Just excited, just the adrenaline of the whole day.
Yeah. And so I got to spend a little time with, got all my stuff set up, but I spent a little time with my mom and my son, hung out with them until about 6:30, and then I said, okay, time for me to go. Went back to transition.
Ron has a cold, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
His immunities are down.
Got back to transition and started making my way to the water at 6:45. The pros went off at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Got down to the beach at 6:15, and then started at 6:15. Everybody's kind of standing around. Everybody's totally nervous.
Did you get an opportunity to warm up in the water at all?
No, there really isn't any. There isn't any time or place for that.
It's tough to just start a race cold like that.
Yeah.
So what did you do to get yourself warmed up?
Nothing. I stretched
paced
a little bit. Yeah.
Paced and watched everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
But. Yeah, just it was talking with with a guy right next to me, and he had just qualified at Honu, and it was his first time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot in common. So we chatted for a couple minutes, and then it was like 10 minutes too, and then...
Everybody's lining up.
I headed out, and there was, you know, a big line of people, and I was mm-hmm. second in line.
Mm-hmm.
And the surfboards are going back and forth to make sure that you don't wander out
right.
past the starting line.
Right, right.
But then more and more people came in, and people were getting in front of me and stuff. And it's
kinda
like, okay, getting whatever.
Getting in position, yeah.
So,
jockeying for position.
I was in second position, so then I got pushed back to about fourth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, whatever, I'm not going to fight you.
And you were right there in the middle of it all.
I was right in the middle. By design, my Ironman mentor, Chris Johnson, said, you know, he likes the draft that you get when you're in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a fight. It's literally a fist fight
mm-hmm.
for about 500 yards, which it was. But the drafting effect is strongest
yeah.
right there in the middle.
Yeah,
so you'll
take a few hits for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did they blow like a horn or something, don't they?
No, you know, there's no countdown, so you don't exactly know. But what I did was when the pros went off at 6:30, I looked at my watch to see exactly when they went off, because I figured it'd be exactly 30 minutes after that our wave would
uh-huh.
start. So I'm looking at my watch, and there's a gal that's treading water next to me, and I said, it's exactly 30 seconds, you know, it should start exactly in 30 seconds from now. And she
mm-hmm.
said, thank you. And sure enough, 30 seconds went by, and then they've got a cannon.
Oh.
Boom! And then everybody's off.
They're off. I love it. And the heart is just racing. Okay, so what happened? What
yeah.
happened at the beginning of the start? You just took off?
Yeah, it doesn't start off real fast because everybody's, you know, everybody's in everybody else's way.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're literally on top of people. People are on top of you. Within the first 500 yards, I had my goggles knocked,
mm-hmm.
not off my head, but off my eyes
Ooh.
Twice.
Right. So did you roll over on your back? How did you deal with that?
No, just kind of went over on my side and emptied the water out and put it back on as
yeah.
best I could. But, you know, there's people coming behind you, so you can't really
You can't
stop
yeah.
either. So, but you know, nobody means anything
right.
by it.
Right, don't take it. You can't take it personally.
Yeah. So,
right. So did you get out in front? Did you start to as it started to thin out?
It started to thin out after about 500 yards. I mean, it's never thin
right.
with that many people in that close of a space, but especially when you're up in the area where I'm
mm-hmm.
at. Cause it's
How was the water? Thin. Was it choppy at all?
Water was a little choppy, but I wouldn't say it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear, but there's definitely a current.
Yeah.
I had my slowest Ironman swim time ever at this race, and it was because I think on the way back we were fighting a current. It was pretty
strong.
So
that would be true for everybody then, right?
I think all the swim times were much slower. Yeah, I mean, the guy who had the fastest swim split, Kim McDonald, who I know that
right.
lives down in San
he's
Diego,
really
he's an amazing swimmer. He had a 102.
Oh, geez.
And that's probably his slowest Ironman
yeah,
swim time.
Yeah, and
too.
He's in your age group, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
so
but yes.
your time was 107?
110.
110?
Slowest,
okay, so you
slowest
came,
time ever.
So you came out of the water, you felt good.
Came out
You looked
12.
At your watch and said,
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, not quite what I expected, but.
So I was 12th in my age group out of the water. 12th out of 68 guys.
That's
so
a good start.
Yeah, it's a decent start
yeah,
considering
that's right.
you know these are the best people in the world.
Exactly. You got to put it into perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Because normally I'm used to being you know first, second, third in my age group
mm-hmm.
out of the water, but you know these are the best in the world. So yeah. So no real events in the rest of the swim. You know you draft when you can, and some
mm-hmm.
a couple times I found clear water, which actually felt kind of good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know because you're not fighting everybody.
Right.
But came in without incident. You know, you get to the stairs, and you got people there that lift you up, basically, and put you on the stairs.
Oh, I'll tell you, they treat you nice.
Oh, man, it's totally.
Ironman, don't they?
Yeah, it's totally.
Well, they couldn't strip your wetsuit, so they got to lift you up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wore my swim skin,
uh-huh.
so but they don't help you strip that off. You take that
now,
off
Now, the
yourself.
Swim skin, is that the apparatus that was... in the big controversy in USA Swimming, is that what you're talking about?
It wasn't any controversy. It was just they changed the rules September 1st of this year.
Okay.
And you couldn't use anything that had any flotation in it. There couldn't
oh,
be any
okay.
neoprene
so this
or
doesn't
anything
have
in it.
A flotation.
No, it'll sink to the bottom if you get
right.
it, if you get it wet. So.
Right, so what's the advantage of wearing that?
Well, the advantage to me was I had tested it in the swimming pool, and I was 4 seconds per 100 faster with it on.
I need to get one of
So
those.
basically, what that means is without it, I would have been 2 to 3 minutes slower on the swim.
Oh, wow.
And it certainly didn't take 2 to 3 minutes to take it off. I mean, it maybe
And
took
what's this product
10 to
called again?
15
Let's
seconds.
tell our listeners.
Well, the one that I got was called the Tier Torque Elite.
And if any of you listeners have something to say about these suits, or if you've had a good experience with them, or you think they help, write to us, email us, tell
Yeah, or
us
if you
about
have
it.
questions,
Yeah.
let us know. But
Yeah.
that's the new thing. Although, I have to show you. Let's see if I can show you my.
Oh, he's stripping down here, people.
You see? Can you see where my swim skin was?
No,
Can you see
yeah.
the?
I can see. He's got tan lines.
Yeah.
He's
Well, no,
actually, no, you've got blister lines.
Right.
Oh,
So,
I thought those were like sunburn tan lines. Those are
well,
blister
I got a little
lines?
sunburn, but yeah, it's the chafing, and I
Oh.
didn't think to put,
Yeah,
we
because
use
it's so
Body
thin,
Glide
you
there,
wouldn't
but
think that that would
yeah, it
happen.
just chews you up.
Yeah.
But
So you made it out of the swim.
got out of the swim, got under the. They've got hoses dangling, and I did a 5 second rinse, and in transition, I checked my shoes rather than putting them on my bike. I would normally put them on my bike, but where I was racked was very close to
To the exit.
the exit. So I just, got into the changing booth, put on my socks, put on my. Actually, I didn't put my shoes on until I got to my bike. So I just
Right.
run with my shoes, put those on at the bike, and then I'm off. It was, nothing to it.
So you had a good, what was T1 time?
I didn't bring all that with me, but I think it was 4 minutes and
That's pretty
something.
good for an Ironman transition. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And then, the bike course takes you around Kailua Kona a little while before you head out to the Queen K. And there's quite a bit of traffic.
And the
And
crowd is going
oh, the
wild.
crowds are great there.
Yeah.
One spot, you come down Palani, which is there's a big hill there that goes basically from the pier up to Queen K. Pretty steep road. And you come down that and you make a left down on. What's the name of the street? I can't think of it right now. Can you think of the name of the street?
I have no idea what the name of the street is. It'll come to you.
I can't think of it. But anyway, you make a left on that. And that's a little hairy. That's the hairiest part of the thing because so many bikes on the road. You're coming so fast down that road. And it's a no passing zone, but still you're flying coming down that. But anyway, no
And you're
incident.
thinking, I do not want to blow this race.
Kuakini. Kuakini
Kuakini.
Street. So anyway, you go out Kuakini, you come back, and then you go up Palani this time. So you're going up that steep hill, and that's where my mom and my son were. And I told them to stand right there because that's when I'd be going the slowest all day.
Right, so they get to actually. Now, what's the grade on that hill?
I don't know,
How
but
long is
I'm
that?
guessing it's probably 9, 10 degrees, something like that. Yes. So
Percent grade for how long?
it's not long. It's, a quarter mile, something like
Okay,
that. So it's
yeah.
not long, but
So they were
it's
out there
fairly
cheering
steep.
for you.
Yeah.
That gave you a nice
Yeah,
big
it's cool
rush.
to see your family and friends out there.
Yeah.
But then you get to the
Lots of
top.
cowbells. I would have been ringing the cowbell for you, Ron.
Oh, cowbell.
Where's the cowbell?
Cowbell.
I'll bet there were so many cowbells. Oh, I love it. I love it. Always got the Ironman cowbell.
It's got to be an official Ironman cowbell.
It's a Wheaties Fuel Prepare to Win
Yeah.
Ironman.
The official
Did they give
cereal.
this to you in
To
your
my
goodie
son, they
bag?
gave it to my son.
Oh, see, that's another reason I want to go to Kona. I want to get a Kona Ironman bell. Okay, so the bike. How are you feeling on the bike?
So I'm feeling really strong,
Yeah.
and
And your heart rate's where you want it to be, your wattage is where you want it to
yeah,
be.
mostly concentrating on my wattage. I look at the other things too. I watch my cadence, I watch my heart rate, I
But
watch
you
my
know what
speed.
wattage you can hold and
And my goal was to go out with 190 watts, and I went out. And I can't think of the or I can't think of the name Keahau.
there's a lot of crazy
I can't
names
think of the
over
name of
there.
the town, but anyway, it's basically the place that you make a right-hand turn to go up to Javi, and it's windy. It's windy all over the whole
What kind of wheels
course
were you
all
using?
day. Edge set me up with a set of zips. I want to say they're 909s on the back and 606s on the front.
So they were fairly deep, right?
Pretty deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would worry me in the wind, and you're not a real heavy guy either, you know, and I don't have a lot of weight. And I would just, were you struggling to hold the bike up?
Well, not until...
to stay upright on the road?
Yeah, you know, not really until you get to that town whose name I can't pronounce. When you get there, then it's a steady, pretty steady climb. There's a couple ups and downs, but it's basically a 6% grade to get up to mm-hmm. Javi. And since you're not going real fast, you're going mm-hmm. uphill for the majority of that. The crosswinds, you know, they'll blow you around. And at some points, I mean, you're really leaning into it.
Yeah.
You're looking at the bikes ahead of you saying, wow, man, that guy's really, you know, leaning. And then, of course, you're leaning the same way.
Right.
But it's not
too bad.
And that
takes a lot of energy.
It takes extra energy.
It really does take extra energy to stay on that bike.
It does.
So you're pushing your watts, you're feeling good.
Well, here's the thing though. When I finally went to look at my watt meter, I was pushing 215 watts, which is way more than I wanted to push. So it's like, okay, big fella.
Back it off.
You're never gonna be able to hold this.
Right, back it down, big boy.
So I did, and I started backing it down and got up to Javi at the turnaround, which is probably about 60 miles, I'm
mm-hmm.
guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick up your special needs shortly after that at 66 miles. But
what
now you're going downhill.
Just your Infinity?
The only thing I've got in my special needs on the bike is my Infinite and peanut butter and jelly sandwich,
which
I didn't take. But coming back from Javi, now you've got that 6% grade going down,
mm-hmm.
and the winds are kind of like behind you, but hitting you from the side.
Right.
And that's when it gets hairy. And probably at miles 68 to 70 or something like that, there's the medical van on the side of the road tending to a guy who wiped out.
Oh.
You take your eyes off the road or lose your concentration for 1 second.
That's all
I mean,
it
you
takes.
Can be down.
You've got to be really focused.
You know, you don't want to go down.
And you're just relishing the day where you're just trying to just...
You know,
really let every moment soak in. I mean, here I am. I'm in Kona. I'm at the World Championship. I mean, this is just such an exciting day.
Yeah, you're not focused on that for more than a couple seconds at a time. And as the race goes on, you have less of those moments. but you have them all day long. I mean, I'm in this. I'm doing the swim, and I'm looking down, and I'm going, I'm in the Ironman World Championships, you know, and then you get back and focus on the job at hand. But you're exactly right. You know, you look out over at the ocean and you're looking at the white caps and you're flying down, you know, the road and you're looking out and go, man, this is so cool.
This
is the World Championships.
Yeah.
It's so great. So you do have those moments, but they don't last long.
Because
you're pushing hard.
Right,
you know?
And there's probably not a lot of spectators out on that part of the course either, is there?
Very few, but you know what was very cool about this race, and I've never seen it before? On the bike, they had aid stations every 5 miles. Usually it's every 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So every aid station, I was taking a bottle of water and refilling my aero bottle,
mm-hmm.
and then basically taking a shower with the rest of the bottle. And every 5 miles, my God, it was a treat having that much.
That must have felt great.
I never overheated on the bike once. I was taking in all the fluids that I wanted. It was just
awesome. Was the water cold or was it just...
It was cold.
It was cold water.
Yeah, it was icy cold. So
that must have felt great.
My aero helmet has three holes in the top, so I just squirt
through. And that's important because, you know, those aero helmets really don't ventilate very
well. They don't get
very
much ventilation.
Now, the pros were all wearing them this year, weren't they?
Most of them were. Not all of them, but most of them,
I think the aerodynamic benefits outweigh the uncomfortable heat that you get in your head. And like you said, if you've got the holes there, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Pouring the water down there. Did you hear that, listeners?
Yeah.
Grab that water bottle and pour it down the helmet.
No.
Okay, so you're on the bike, you're holding your watts, you're behaving yourself.
Yeah, but
as best you can.
I was pulling back and again, my goal was 190 watts. I figured I could hold that pretty easy.
Did you pass any guys in your age group on the bike?
A couple. Again, I came out of the water 12th, so there wasn't a lot of guys for me to pass on the bike. Mm-hmm. You know, there were more that passed me than guys that I had passed.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had, well, let me think. I had 20, no, 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 not 20. I had 14 guys ultimately pass me
on the bike.
On the bike. And,
how is that mentally? Because you know what? Let's face it, that doesn't really happen to you too often.
Well,
even though, you know, you're one of the first guys coming out of the swim, you're still really fast on the bike. So, you know, you're not used to seeing too many guys in your age group passing you on the bike. Am I correct?
Well,
come on, don't be so humble.
The bike is really my weakest event, so.
Not anymore.
Well, it still is. It's. I don't think I have any weaknesses now, but the guys there are awesome on the
They're
bike.
They're just so fast on the bike.
Again, it's the world championships. Right. These are the best
okay,
guys
so
in the world.
Okay, so every time somebody passes you, you just kind of take note.
Well, I just let them go.
On,
just yeah,
let
I just them
go.
Let them go.
You just keep going with your race.
Right.
Stay on your pace.
But the problem was that just being caught up in it and feeling so good at the time, it was hard for me to back off that mm-hmm. much. So I ended up actually averaging 199 watts.
Wow.
So. And I'm, and of course, I'm thinking the whole time.
Okay, and how many did you want to average?
190. So I'm
okay, so you're a little
5% over.
Right. But you felt good.
I felt good on the bike.
Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, what is this going to do to my run?
What's it going to cost me?
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, 5 minutes on the bike can cost you 20 on the run.
Well, and that's the thing, you know. And I haven't figured that one out.
Delicate balance you have to.
I haven't figured it out.
Well, ask Chris Lieto. He knows.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened to him and Kona this year.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the pros later because it's all about you right now.
I don't know.
Okay, so how about any more highlights from the bike?
No, not really. It just, you know, being an older age group guy, it's, you know, it's just people blown by all day long.
Yeah.
There were literally hundreds and hundreds of people that passed me on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, maybe that's why I was pushing harder than I should have, because
right.
it's like, you know, I should be doing better than this. But it was a very tough day.
But it's the World Championships, you know?
Tough day. It was very hot, extremely windy.
And as the day goes on, it's getting hotter and hotter, and it's getting windier, right?
It got windier, towards the end of the day.
That's just a struggle. Mentally, you just got to be right on top of it. Okay, so you get off the bike. You're feeling good?
Feel fine.
No cramping.
No
stomach's
cramping,
feeling good.
Stomach's great.
You're ready to go on the run.
Quick transition. You know, started running in, feeling tired. Feeling
mm-hmm.
like I swam an hour and, you know, rode for six.
Yeah.
But the run south down Ali'i is just so beautiful. You know, it's very shaded. You're running by the ocean, by all these homes and everything, and you run south down Ali'i for about 5 miles till you get to the turnaround. There's a cute little church there on the water that is the turnaround place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the turnaround, there's my mom and there's my son waiting for me, just like they said they'd be. And so the first 5 miles seemed to go by pretty good, but I could tell that I didn't have any spring in my step. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was just chugging along, nine minute pace. I think maybe even a little more than 9 minute pace, but most of that going south is uphill. So
mm-hmm.
first 5 miles are pretty much uphill. So I'm running the whole way, running through the aid stations.
And we all know what the saying is about the run and the Ironman. They say that in a marathon, it starts to get ugly at mile 20.
Yeah.
But in the Ironman, the marathon starts ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already wiped out by the time.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah, it takes a little while to get your groove on, right?
Yeah, and which I never got on. I was hoping to get it on. But it was great seeing my mom and my son, and I stopped, and they took a couple of pictures and gave me hugs and stuff and sent me on my way. But from that point on, now you've got to go 5 miles back towards town.
Right.
So you're running along the same streets and everything, and it's, you know, again, it's beautiful and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I decided I'm going to walk the aid stations now. So from mile six all the way until the end, I walked the aid stations.
And it's just such a nice little, just a little something to look forward to, you know.
It
even
is.
Though it slows you down a little bit mentally, you know, you can get to the next aid station.
So I ran through up to each aid station and walked through. Mm-hmm. And every aid station, I'm throwing ice down my shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm putting ice in my hat.
Wishing you were me and had a sports bra that you could put it down. Yeah.
And then pouring water.
And it's really humid by this time.
Very humid, very hot.
And you're just feeling it.
But every other aid station I'm doing there, they have Perform instead of Gatorade. So mm-hmm. I'm drinking Perform one aid station, then Coke the next, and alternating.
Right.
But not trying not to drink any water, but water was the only thing that would really quench. So I probably drank for the whole marathon. I may have drank 3 cups of water, mm-hmm. and everything else is just Gatorade and Coke.
And but I don't imagine they have chicken broth at Kona, do they?
They do, but I'm not sure what mile they started it at. It didn't start
just
right
that
away.
Salt tastes so good.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, all it is broth, but it's the best broth I've ever had.
it's amazing. I didn't have any until after the race this time, but I had a couple of cups of that.
Okay, so who passed whom on the run? You know, I mean, at that point, were you just saying it's just going to be what it is? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's. I had a few people. Again, I had a couple more guys in my age group pass me on the run. I passed more on the run than passed me, but not by much. The really fast guys were already, beyond mm-hmm. where I was. You know, I'd seen Joe Bonas out there. He's actually the only one that I really noticed out there, and he was moving along pretty good. I think mm-hmm. his overall pace is like 8:05 mm-hmm. for the whole marathon. Didn't see a lot of other guys that I knew out there, but you can tell in these Ironman races, they don't stamp, they don't put your number on your calf. But what they do is they have a range of numbers. They group you by age group. So there's one guy, 325 is the first one.
They don't put your age on your calf?
No, so you don't know what age they are. But if you look at the range, it was 325 to number 391. Within that range, they're all in your age group. I was number 375.
So this is something that's just unique to Kona then? Because
no, it's Ironman.
Well, when I've done the Ironman, they've always put my age on my leg.
Yeah, see, they don't do that. They haven't done that for the last couple of months. They didn't do that at Honu either.
Well, they did it in Canada last year. That's interesting. Not to digress.
Yeah, actually,
so that you would have to actually look at someone's number and figure out if they're
in
your
age group. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it interesting.
But you know what? At that point, you're not really paying any attention to that. It's like, oh, there's a guy in my age group. He passed me. Oh, there's a guy in my age group. I passed him.
Right.
Because I'm not going for one of the top spots.
Right.
I'm not even. I know that I'm not.
You're
even
going
pretending
for the experience.
For top
you're
10.
Going for this great experience. For this amazing experience that only a minute. number of people in the entire world have gotten to have.
Yeah, it's quite a privilege to be there.
Okay, so the miles drone on. You're.
Yeah, so you make it out of there. First 10 miles, then you have to run up that same hill, Palani.
Mm-hmm.
I walked the entire hill. I decided that I'm not going to burn the energy to trying to run up it. Saw my mom and my son again. Got to the top of the hill, and when you hit the Queen K, there's not much out there. There's aid stations every mile, but there's not many people, and it's all just lava.
It's lonely. Hot, lonely lava.
So you kind of try to get yourself, I get myself into a trance and just, you know, put your head down and just chug along
dig
best
deep.
You can, you know.
And what are you telling yourself? What's your mantra? What's going through your mind? Other than the fact that you're really hungry. Were you
not
hungry
at all. No,
see, it's
never
back to
hungry.
The food for
I wasn't
me.
Hungry till the next morning.
See, at that point in the race is when I start fantasizing about what food I'm going to eat.
Oh, really? No.
when it's all over.
Food was the last thing I had on my mind. No.
So what are you thinking? What are you
no,
thinking
I'm just,
about?
I'm just trying to focus, you know? It's like, just keep going and going and going.
Looking at your heart rate,
one
looking at your time.
Yeah. It's just let's just do this.
Yeah.
Just enjoy.
Do you
kind of
challenge yourself to make a certain time between aid stations? You know, sometimes it gets that rough that that's what you say. Okay, I'm going to do this next mile in, you know, 9 minutes. Or
I didn't really put myself under that kind of pressure. I mean, I knew that I was going. a lot slower than I'd hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just about, you know, let's just go as best as I can and not put any pressure on and
let's just get this thing done.
Yeah. So, you know, you run down the Queen K, you make a left onto into the Energy Lab, which is about 2 miles. Mm-hmm. It's mostly downhill, so, and it's beautiful because now you're aimed right at the ocean.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. And when you get down, I got down to the end of the Energy Lab where the turnaround is there. And some guy had a van with these gigantic speakers and this amazing stereo system. And he's just blaring music, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And at that point, I got to the end of the Energy Lab and I sat down for a second because I felt like I had a pebble in my shoe.
Ugh.
And
what mile was that?
That's probably, what mile is that? About 17.
Ooh, so you're getting close.
Probably about 17.
Yeah.
But then you make the turnaround, now you've got to run
now
uphill.
You've got to run up the hill.
You've got to run out.
But you can see everybody. And
yeah, you can see lots of people and you know, you chat with people a little bit.
So you sat down, and how was it when you had to get back up? That's
not hard. I mean, I literally sat down for maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So it wasn't hard. But coming out of the Energy Lab was tough, going up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Chris told me, he said, you know, when I get out of the Energy Lab, which is about mile 19, he says, I give myself a little break. You know, that's the point in the race where I say, okay, if you feel like walking, go ahead and walk for a little while. And you know what? That's exactly what I did. I hit mile 19 and I just said, you know, this is really feeling bad now. So I walked an entire mile.
Wow.
From mile marker 19 to 20. I walked the entire thing. But then when I hit 20, I'm thinking, okay, I've got exactly a 10K left now.
Yeah.
Now it's time to run it in.
I can do it.
Let's run the whole thing in.
Yeah.
Which lasted 3 miles. I got to mile 23 and it's like, I don't think I can walk this whole thing or, you know, run the whole thing in at this point. So I walked a little bit. I hit the aid station.
And you've probably never had to walk in an Ironman before.
No, I've walked all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've walked in all of them to a degree.
And I think that the humidity has got to play such a large factor in that.
The heat, the humidity, and the fact that I pushed so hard on the bike, you know, those things all, they catch up to you.
Right. Right.
But
So you got to mile 23, and you know you're going to finish this bad boy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was never any doubt that I was going to finish it. But, you know, and then I got, to mile 24, and you can see the lights of Kona, and it's very clear. And actually, most of that run back to town is downhill.
Uh-huh.
It's a slight grade.
So the energy starts picking up.
And the energy just keeps building and building. And then you make a couple of turns, and then you come back on this street called Hualalai, and that's the one that you make the right-hand turn on to Ali'i.
And this is where it really starts
now
to get exciting.
Now there's thousands and thousands of people there, and the lights are all on, and they're screaming, and it's out of control. And at this point, you don't even know if your feet are touching the ground. You know, if you walk 26 miles, that last 0.2, you're running.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of people are running at that point because it's just amazing.
That just the energy just picks you up. Oh, that's so exciting. I could feel it.
Yeah. So it was so great. And, I ran the last, you know, probably 2.5 miles, not stop, not walking the aid stations, you know, just, okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And finished it up and felt strong and, you know, threw the shock out there, crossing the finish line. And my friend Oz captured the video on the finish line. And that's on YouTube. How do they find that,
awesome,
by the way, on YouTube?
I didn't know that, Ron.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. What do they do? Go to
Is it on Triathlon Academy?
Triathica Academy.
Can you see it on Triathica?
And then just click the link.
Triathica Academy. Oh, okay. So they go to Triathica Academy and there'll be several videos under there.
Yes. I'm going to, as soon as I get home, I'm going to go watch.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Well,
that
is such an emotional moment. It's about a 2-second video.
So what? It's still you crossing the finish line at Kona. And what, I mean, crossing the finish line in any Ironman is just such a huge accomplishment and it's such a relief.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine at Kona, it's just got to be so emotional and just so amazing.
Yeah, the range of emotion is amazing when you look at the people, because it's, you know, I'm on the upper end where I'm like smiling and just going crazy. Yeah, yeah. And then you've got other people that are just sobbing. They're crying so hard. The range is just amazing when you see these people,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But, do you think they're crying so hard because they're happy, or is it such a relief? I mean, I'm sitting here almost crying just talking about it. I mean, I can imagine that it's just, you can't even describe it.
It's emotional. Yeah. Yeah.
So you cross the finish line, and then what?
Then actually my friend Mark, who was there, he was volunteering as a finish line catcher. Excuse me, he caught
Poor
me.
Woman.
He caught me and walked me over to the medical tent. And I just went in there because I was feeling a little bit dizzy.
Yeah.
I didn't feel dehydrated. In fact, they weigh you when you go in.
Right.
And
how much weight had you lost?
I actually gained 2.5 pounds.
Way to go, Ron! You're my kind of guy.
Now I think the majority of that 2.5 pounds was in my shoes. You know, I had my shoes on when they weighed me after.
Uh-huh.
Of course, my shoes are all wet. But I think I was probably one of the few people that actually gained weight during the Ironman.
Laid down there and
had a couple of cups of broth.
Yeah,
and,
which tasted great.
Collected
I'm sure.
My medals.
And was your family able to get anywhere near the finish line?
Yeah, they give you little tickets so that you can go into the finishing area.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see them in the finishing area. I saw them later, but yeah, Mark kind of walked me around, and it's just you're on cloud nine. You're
yeah.
just sky high.
Yeah.
And, yeah, collected the bike and collected the family and went back to the condo. I guess I don't think we got back to the condo until about 9 o'clock though, and I finished, you know, before 7 o'clock,
right,
so it took
right.
us a couple of hours.
Total
to
time
was
11:47. That is amazing. That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, so went back to the condo, took a shower, didn't eat anything, still hadn't eaten anything, and
just didn't have any appetite.
Went to bed. Yeah.
You went to bed and didn't even eat?
Nothing. Didn't eat anything. My breakfast was the only thing I'd eaten. I didn't eat until the next morning breakfast.
Oh my gosh, I would have been ravenous.
Yeah, yeah. Had no
appetite.
Which
would not be recommended because you're not...
No, you should be loading it back up again.
You should be loading it back up. You just couldn't bring yourself to do it. We
no.
just drained. We just emotionally drained too.
I think so.
You know, all the
yeah,
hype, you know,
physical
everything.
And emotional and mental, you know, you just put it
you're
all out
spent.
There. Yeah.
You're just
yeah.
spent. That wouldn't have stopped me from eating, Ron.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too. I thought, you know, I kept thinking, you know, I bet a piece of pizza and some beer would be really good.
Yeah.
No, nothing. Nothing I could think of that I could eat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. No. So, did you feel really weak the next morning when you got up?
No, I just got up. You know, we had breakfast in the condo and felt fine. You know, a little worn down, but not
yeah.
very little muscle soreness and
you didn't do an ice bath or anything?
No. You know, I got a little blister on my left foot, and I got a little
like you got a black
blister.
Toenail on oh, okay. oh,
on
that doesn't
right
look too
foot.
Good.
Yeah.
And you're sick, and I feel bad. I feel bad that you know, but of course your immunities are down, and you're traveling, and so you really need to work on taking care of yourself now. And when's your next Ironman? You've got Ironman Arizona coming up
yeah,
in just a few
weeks.
5 weeks,
yeah.
Do you feel like that's just sort of... And you said that was your A race of the season.
Still is.
How are you going to get yourself psyched up for that after you've done Kona?
Yeah, the physical side, you know, I pretty much know I've got a game plan for the physical
well, you
side.
You need to
the
get
mental
yourself
side,
better. You need to,
yeah,
you know,
this week I'm not doing much of anything at all. But
we're going to have to tie him down. He's too energetic.
Yeah, I mean, you get into this the training routine and you want to keep going. But yeah, it'll be, you know, I'll take 2 weeks to, you know, this week I'll do very little, you know, easy bike, easy swim. Again, I want to get over this cold first because
mm-hmm.
I don't want it to linger on.
Right.
But next week, you know,
is that
when I'll start
stuff
building it
colds?
Back up. No.
I'm looking that up on the internet when I get home,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, look it up, geranium oil.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'll do probably about 2 hard weeks of training, you know, just to bring myself back up to the level that I want to be at, and I'll start to taper again.
Right.
You know, but that's still my A race. I mean, as silly as that sounds.
I can't quite understand
the
that.
The only way to qualify for Kona at Kona is you have to win your age group.
Right.
And there was no way I was going to do that, you know, so... My A race is still Arizona, and I've got to finish either I have to finish first or second,
right.
Or I've got to catch a roll down slot.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, wow. So I've got to really do
well. So you
well
want to
there.
Go back to Kona?
I'm dying to go back. Dying to go back.
Already the.
Oh yeah, it's like once Christmas is over, you want it to.
You
come
want
the
it
next
to be Christmas
day.
Again. It's yeah. Like yeah, it's like anything. You know, you just want that rush. So if you had to wrap it all up. The emotions, the energy, the experience, in just a couple of words. What words would you choose to describe your experience at the World Championships?
Well, you have to keep in mind that this has, you know, been a goal of mine for 27 years.
That's a long time.
It's not something I just, you know, thought about and let's go and let's do it. So you have a lot of time and a lot of hard work and a lot of stuff to get you there, but it's in having volunteered there a couple times, I experienced it from that side. I got to see all the stuff going on, but when you're in it, it's just, it's beyond belief. You know, you just, your expectations are so high, but it still manages to blow your expectations away.
How so? What do you mean?
Just everything. Just the whole experience. It's like going to Disneyland and, you know, thinking for the first time that, you know, wow, Disneyland's going to be so great. And then you go there and it's 10 times better than that.
Right. It was better than you could have even imagined.
Better than you could imagine. It was just so great. Yeah. And, it, you know, a lot of it's just a privilege to be there. You know, because these are the best Ironman triathletes in the world. And to be amongst these people. It's just a privilege.
Well, I'm the lottery people. That's why I can't let myself enter the lottery, because I feel like if I go to Kona, I want to have earned that right. And which is not to downplay people who get into the lottery.
No,
I wish them all the best.
I entered the lottery.
That's just my personal, that's how I am.
I didn't enter the lottery this year, but I did the 3 previous years.
You did?
Yeah. Didn't ever get in, but I know a couple friends of mine. Quentin Berry got in. I forget what year he got in, but he got in on the lottery. And another friend of mine, Kirk Matkin, actually got in 3 times on the lottery.
Oh my land!
Many years ago.
Wow!
But
so you must feel, you must have a real feeling of satisfaction.
It is.
Just satisfied that you qualified. You had a good race, a solid race, a safe race. You know, no accidents, nothing crazy happened. And you cross that finish line, and you'll never forget that feeling.
So great. Yeah. That's John Collins said, it's Ironman's all about a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, 26.2-mile run, and the right to brag for the rest of your life.
Yes! I love it. So I absolutely love it. Yeah. Well, we're all very proud of you here.
Thank you.
Your hometown crew.
Woo-hoo!
And, it's just, I feel privileged. I feel faster and stronger just being in your company.
You're going to get there.
Yeah, just.
You're gonna get there. Next year is going to be your year.
Well, maybe. You know, next year or the year after, I might still have a few lessons that I need to learn and a few things I need to work out.
Well, if you tune in to Tri Chatter, we're going to keep giving you the best of our ideas.
Right,
to help
right,
you qualify.
Right. And you guys, absolutely. You know, for me, it's the swim, and I know that I need to work really hard on that. And I've got this marathon coming up, so I haven't been focusing too much on my swim. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it's meant to happen. I'm certainly willing to put in the work to make it happen. And, hey, next year maybe both of us will be in Kona.
Awesome.
You never know. The Tri-Chatter people. We could do a podcast right there.
Yeah, sounds great.
So, anyway, well, congratulations
Thank
to you.
Thank
and,
you.
And it's just, it's very exciting to see the fruits of your labor, you know, pan out for you and to hear about your story coming across the finish line. And you did a great job. I'm very proud.
Thank you.
And now get yourself better. And listeners, please, if you have any questions for us, you can email us. How can they get in touch with you, Ron?
Yeah, they can reach us through Triathica, TRIATHICA.com. And there's a bunch of good information on that site. And you can reach us that way or email me directly at Ron@Triathica.com. And how do they reach you?
You can reach me at CoachSBR.com. Of course, SBR stands for Swim, Bike, Run, and Sherry Boston Renard, so that's pretty convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Email us with any questions you have, anything you'd like to hear us discuss on the show.
Yeah, good idea.
And
bring it in.
Yeah, any controversial issues you might want us to talk about, like ice baths. I read some interesting stuff about that, but we're going to let you go because Ron needs to go home and get some rest and eat, for crying out loud. Eat
yes.
something.
So I've been eating ever since.
Okay. Well, here's Tri Chatter, over and out.
Aloha and mahalo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.